This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ravens rookie minicamp coming up this weekend. After the draft of 25 is done, Bob Hattie, Vinny Serrato here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Now get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. We'll reveal that later in the program. From the Baltimore Banner, Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Gianna Han. Gianna, what is happening?
Not much, just enjoying a little bit more sun before I see we have like 10 days of rain coming up. So just in time for camp.
Well, that's unacceptable. But anyway, let's get to the Ravens. And before we get to the draft and Justin Tucker and the tenders that were and were not yesterday, the Derrick Henry extension. And we were talking about that, Vinny and myself, in the first hour. The timeline for that would be anticipated where? Because we think it's happening, right? It's inevitable, but when will this get all tightened up nicely here?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really had an update on it. We asked for updates on different things at the end of the draft, and they said they didn't have any, and then clearly they came out with the fifth-year options. But I think he has a few different things to work on because he's still working on that Tyler Linderbaum extension. But I think one thing you I don't know for sure. I can't speak to when it will exactly happen, but I know that June 1st deadline should any, as you mentioned, Tucker results come out, I think that will tell them more about where they are with their cap and will allow them to work a little bit more. And of course, there's just so many moving parts. You know, they also have the Lamar Jackson talks. That would change a lot of things if they were able to get an extension done with him. It would give them a lot more room to have an extension done with Derrick Henry. So definitely would like to have it wrapped up just for us to know, but have no clue where they're at with it.
When do you think we'll get word from the NFL on Tucker?
Yeah, that's another where they could take forever. You know, all these investigations have taken forever, but and they haven't given updates, but I would think that you would like to see it wrapped up if they're keeping in mind roster considerations also maybe around that June 1st deadline so that, you know, they can release him and get that. And then ahead of, I would say, the start of the season so that if they do need to make some moves, let's say Tyler Litt doesn't play out, so they know what they're going to be doing, whether they have a kicker or not. So I think if they keep football considerations in mind, I would say like towards the end of this off season, but again, they kind of work on their schedule and not on the football schedule. It depends on how they're moving with the investigation. Obviously the Banner did theirs and it took them a few weeks, but we don't know if they found other women or a woman who didn't talk to the Banner, where they are with that. So that's something they're keeping really, really close to the chest. And that makes sense because you don't want to compromise the integrity of the investigation.
Gianna, my guess is, knowing how the league does things, I would say Thursday, July 3rd at 5 o'clock, they will put it out. Because then there's a long weekend and no media for a long weekend. That's what I think. Now, the question on Tucker, too, is, all right, let's say it doesn't happen till July. Is he at OTAs and minicamp?
I think you'll see him there. I mean, he's been in the building working out, so I would assume that he would continue to show up to things because he's there right now, and they've made it clear. Unless they get some sort of indication either way which way it's going and they decide they don't want him there, but he's showing up right now, and he's talked to them about the fact that they were potentially drafting a kicker to replace him. So I might not, like, I could see why he wouldn't show up, but as of right now, he's in the building.
Now, Gianna, don't you think that a Lindenbaum extension will get done this summer? Just because they couldn't pick up the fifth-year option because of finances, you know? So I would imagine that they would probably want to get something done, don't you?
I would agree with that. I mean, I know Jonah Sewell will dive into this on the banner, but offensive linemen tags are the fifth-year options are determined by all offensive linemen positions, which kind of skewed it. So it didn't make sense financially, as you said. But that certainly doesn't mean they don't want him and they don't want to tie him up before, you know, his market price soars even more, before he gets a chance to talk to other teams. And even just, you know, peace of mind. I'm sure no one wants to be doing that once the season starts. So I would agree. I would say they want to get that wrapped up. And they have said they emphasize the line, and he's one of the most important parts of that line right now. So both between his skill and his veteran leadership now, which is kind of crazy to think of him as a veteran now, but they're going so young. So I would agree. I would think that they want that wrapped up pretty soon.
Now, Gianna, which of the draft picks, when we go out there on Sunday, which one are you looking forward to seeing?
I mean, we just, you know, they like all their draft picks, but I don't want to go basic and say Malachi, but I mean, I've heard such good things about him that might be a little bit of kind of a recency bias, since I'm working on a piece on him right now, so he's front of mind. But I would kind of like to see him and forgive me if I can't remember how to pronounce his name, the round six corner, Bilal Pone, I think. I would like to see, like, they gave us a pronunciation. I do not have it in front of me. But it would be cool to see them practice together also, because they have been working out all offseason. Like, interesting to see their chemistry. I know he's a pick they're really excited about. He's got some interesting length, and he's a small school guy, so it's not like we've seen him just, you know, watching college football, like SEC, Big Ten. And then I'm also very biased. I love Aeneas Peebles' nickname, which is Fub, so I want to see him too, just because I want to see what Fub looks like out there.
His nick, F-U-B is his nickname? Fub?
Yep.
Let's be careful, F-U-B. People, because we don't want to hear from the FCC, if you know what I'm saying.
Now, Gianna, what else do you think the Ravens are going to need to add?
I mean, as I'm talking about Peebles, defensive line.
Yep.
You know, they like him, but he's a little bit undersized. He's still young because he's a rookie. But that's something I think they probably wanted to address higher in the draft, and it just didn't fall that way. They truly are this best available team, and that wasn't what was best available at the time. But, you know, they lost this core piece, this veteran. They've got two really good guys at nose tackle and defensive tackle, but those guys both dealt with injury. It's a really grueling position, so I really think they need to add some depth there.
Gianna Hahn, what's happening at the Baltimore Banner here on the first day of May?
Yeah, Jonas and I are working on some different draft prospects. I mentioned Malachi. He's got his own things in the works. Just trying to introduce everyone to the newest Ravens.
Gianna Hahn, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the sun while it lasts, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, I'm sure.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
There's see you soon. Gianna Hahn. Thanks, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, whip around, talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. And Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, will talk about the Orioles winning a series from the Yankees. All is not right with the Orioles' world, but that, you know, it's a good step in a positive direction. Kansas City comes to town, and then it's a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Mr. Electricity, dropping some lightning bolts on you.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around here. This Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request to the Plaza Sport text line, 410-583-1057. Since we are in the 11 o'clock hour, get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in a couple of hours or so. We talked about this in the first segment, as a matter of fact, of the show after the Orioles game. Capitals taking on Montreal down in D.C. with a chance to advance, win their first playoff series in, what, 7 years?
Yeah.
And if you missed any of it, well, it's good news for the home team.
all-time number one when it comes to power play goals. Fires and scores! Right on cue! The grade eight makes it 1-0.
Joby on the call.
Yeah, and it was a hell of a... On the face-off, it was as clean as you can get. It went straight to Ovi, and Ovi didn't waste any time and put it in the back of the net. But it was a really good game by the Capitals. They dominated from start to finish. And I said earlier, the only way Montreal scored was a shot from the side, terrible angle, and it went off, I think, Roy, the defenseman for the Caps, hit his butt and went in. Otherwise, they get a shutout. But, I mean, they put on a good surge in the third period, but the Caps, you know, scored the empty net. Logan Thompson was awesome. The goalie, he was great. Tom Wilson, you know, we talked about Bob, like with Kerstead, getting the team excited.
Sure.
To what Tom Wilson did when he knocked Carrier in the game up in Montreal when he KO'd him. You know, got the team going. They scored right on that same shift. So that was kind of the turning point in the series. But Tom Wilson was awesome with scoring goals and physicality. Now, the Caps, they're going to go play a tough Carolina team that won 4-1 against New Jersey, who was ranked second, finished second behind the Caps. So, I mean, if Logan Thompson continues to play as is, you know, I mean, the Caps look, Protas was back last night, you know, and he had missed the whole series and missed some games towards the end of the year. He looked good. I think he only played like 10 minutes, but he had good shifts out there. So the Caps are only getting stronger. So this will be, they've got a good chance. I don't know if anybody can beat Florida. That's going to be the thing. Florida, you know, Florida beat the Lightning last night 6-3. It was tied 3-3, and then Florida scored 3-3. Florida's got so much depth. And they're healthy, and their goalie's playing good, you know. So I mean, that's the thing that they got going for them, and they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, Panthers will wait for the winner of the Toronto Ottawa series. Game six of that one is tonight in Ottawa.
Yeah, and Bob, I mean, Toronto is shaking in their boots because they are known for being up 3-1. Being up 3-2 and losing the series. And they're on track right now. They go back to Ottawa, tied and lose tonight 3-3, and then got to go back to Toronto for Game 7 where Ottawa just smoked them in Toronto. That'll be a very interesting game, and that would not be good for Toronto and Ottawa. First time they've been in the playoffs forever. So, I mean, they're just young, dumb, and having fun.
Also in the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, Winnipeg 5-3 over St. Louis. The Jets now lead that series 3-2.
Yeah, and it goes back to St. Louis, and St. Louis is spectacular at home. Bob, I think we're going to go to a game 7 in that one. I think St. Louis will win at home going back, and then we'll go back to Winnipeg for a game 7. I think we're going to have a lot of game 7s.
4 games tonight. We talk about Toronto at Ottawa. You have Vegas at Minnesota. Golden Knights lead that one 3-2. Minnesota blew a golden opportunity to maybe be home to close things out. Dallas is at Colorado. The Stars are up 3-2. Edmonton hosts the Kings. Edmonton could close it out at home against L.A.
Now, I may be totally wrong, but I think Edmonton closes it out tonight. But they've won 3 in a row. Kings won 2 in a row at home, and the Kings lost last game at home, which is unheard of for them. I think the Oilers end it tonight. I think all 3 other series, I think the Toronto-Ottawa series goes 7, Minnesota-Vegas goes 7. I mean, Minnesota's lost 2 overtime games, both games they could have won. I think that one goes 7, and I think the Stars go to Colorado, and then that one goes 7.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan, the Whip Around here on this Total Request Thursday. NBA playoffs last night. Rockets 131-116 over Golden State. Fred VanVleet had 26. Amen Thompson had 25, 6-3, and 5 steals on top of that. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore, played 2 minutes. Did not get into the statistical category, but he did play. Golden State still leads that series 3-2, goes back to San Francisco. A lot of whining from the Golden State point of view that they're trying to hurt Steph Curry's sore thumb.
Oh. Well,
any team that has Draymond Green, shut up.
No doubt.
I mean, that dude's foot always lands somewhere where it should.
And head, groin. That's why, like in hockey or whatever, they say upper body or lower body. They never say what the injury is. Because you know, playoff time, Bob, anything goes. If he's got a sore thumb, you're going to try to jam it, anything.
Yeah, it's a chippy series, which is cool to see. T-Wolves, Minnesota, 103-96 over the Lakers. Bye-bye, L.A., the Stifle Tower. Rudy Gobert, 27 points, 24 rebounds, 2 blocks. Most of his points were of dunk variety. L.A. had nobody to stop him in the paint, and they certainly took advantage of that. Alex Len rode the bench, DNP. So did Jackson Hayes, DNPs. J.J. Redick won small ball, did not benefit him. Luka had a slow start to the game, did finish with 28 points. But Gobert, who had been pretty much a non-factor offensively in this series, he looked like Will Chamberlain.
Can they make a run, Bob? T-Wolves?
Hell yeah, Anthony. Keep looking at this, too. Anthony Edwards, 0 for 11 from 3. DiVincenzo was 2 for... They shot 14... 2 for 13. They were 2... They shot 14% from the 3-point line.
Damn.
And won because of the Stifle Tower Gobert dominating in the paint. So that series is over as the 6th seed beats the 3 seed. As LeBron's going to figure out what he's going to do this offseason. But the T-Wolves advance in 5 games. Tonight, Knicks at Detroit. Knicks are up 3-2. Pistons trying to, obviously, even the series same. Denver at the Clippers. That series 3-2 in favor of the Nuggets. And real quick, April 1st, Orioles history, 1983 at the Kingdome in Seattle. Sweet swinging Kenny Singleton hit a 3-run homer. Brother Lowe, John Lowenstein went deep. Eddie Murray had 4 ribbies. Storm Davis gets the win. Tippy Martinez the save. 1997. At the Baggy Dome in Minnesota, Orioles beat the Twinkies 3-2. B.J. Suroff, 2 ribbies. Pete Incaviglia drove in a run. Scott Erickson goes 8 and a third strong to improve to 4-1. Randy Myers picked up his 11th save of the year, and it's May 1st. Mike Bordick was 0-for-3. We'll get on him in about 5 minutes about what the hell that was all about. But 2012. Yankee Stadium. Chris Davis goes yard. J.J. Hardy hit a 2-run homer. Brian Mattis, rest in peace. He went 6 and a third as the Orioles blow out New York 7-1. Nolan, believe it or not, that was 13 years ago today. Current day Orioles beat the current day Yankees last night at Camden Yards 5-4. Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joins us next to talk about that. Mountcastle going deep because we're all worried about him. Looking ahead to this Kansas City series as well. And Nolan McGraw's Funhouse. That's why it's called the Funhouse, because it's fun. Stick around and find out why. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, what is up here on this Total Request Thursday?
Hey, Bob, feeling pretty good, man, after winning a series, especially after the Yankees. Those are a couple feel-good wins, too.
What did you think of the Kerstedt play at second base? Things got a little chippy there, maybe over the top. Hey, look, I've had people land on my head before, and I don't like dudes touching me to begin with. So I got to understand the angst, especially after what happened to him last year. But people say the Orioles don't show fight. It looked like they were ready to throw down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think what got everybody fired up was, Kerstedt just want to make a point, man. Hey, why you got to land on my head so hard? Whatever. And next thing you know, he's surrounded by a bunch of Yankees. And that's why everybody responded the way they did. I personally think the Yankees overblew it because everybody got around him. All the second base would have to do is walk away. I mean, let's go. Sorry I landed on your head. Let's go. Let's play ball. Whatever. And I don't think Kerstedt would have kept it up. So it is what it is. And so what? It makes the Orioles look a little chippy. That's a good thing. That's what we've been looking for. A little edge, a little fight. And they came away with a win. So it looked even better.
Now, we talked a couple of nights ago on BBT down at Pickles, Mike, about Kerstedt, the whole offense, but Ryan Mountcastle in particular, his struggles that date back to oftentimes 2024. He was in the throes of an 0-for-18. He goes yard, and you said a couple of nights back, maybe the wall moving in has the exact opposite effect as it going back, but he got it over the wall. We talk about from a player's perspective, where just that one big hit, and it was a big hit because it tied the game, could maybe catapult you to some really positive things moving forward.
Oh, no doubt about it, especially a big hit like that. The problem is sometimes with home runs, And I know he's been just trying to yank a ball over that left field wall. He's just pulling off the ball so much. So I'd still like him to drive the ball to right center field. The reason he got that pitch, it was a terrible mistake, and he was ready for it and clubbed it. But, yeah, hits are gold, man. You know, everybody could talk all they want about process. If you go out there and have four broken bat hits, I guarantee you're going to sleep a lot better than going 0-for-4 with four line drives. I just get right at somebody. It just hits make you feel good. Hitting is all about confidence, especially at the major league level. If you feel any kind of defeat or any kind of extra thought in your mind other than seeing the ball and hitting the ball, you're probably going to have a hard time getting a hit. And you could tell he was a little defeated, so maybe this will lift him a little bit, give him a little more confidence that, yeah, you are one of the best right-handed hitters in the game, and let him take off, because when he gets going, man, he can literally carry a team. And that's what we've been looking for, somebody to just step up. But I think right now just these incremental waves of positivity are going to help every one of these guys. We're not expecting them to be the 100-win team right here and turn it around in a week. We just need their heads to stay above water right until the midway point and hopefully get some healthy guys back, and they just start building off this. So I think a great series win and just a nice way to keep playing good baseball. Good baseball. Even if your talent is below the other team's level, just play good baseball. I think that's what everybody's asking, because they just look so sloppy. And we can blame it on injuries, but your backups better know how to play the dang game too. You know what I mean? And execute. This is the big league. So that's all we're asking. Play a good brand of baseball. Hopefully the starters keep them in as long as they can and give these kids a chance to hit.
Mike, talk about Gunnar Henderson. Look, they did the small ball thing. He gets a base hit, which is, the exit velo was pretty high, and then he steals second. Adley drives him in, but defensively finishes April with four errors. What do you want? Both sides, glove, bat. What are you seeing from Gunnar as April has now come to a merciful end, I guess, for the Orioles?
Yeah. Well, I will say this, and this really stuck out to me watching him field some ground balls in last night's game. It seemed like he slowed himself down a little bit. It looked like he was making a conscious effort to take his time and not run through every ground ball. So maybe things are starting to, you know, have an impact on him and how he's making an adjustment defensively in the game, because there were still times, and this is always the question with young infielders, can they manage their internal clock and not be out of control to risk mistakes? Because it's the consistency that separates these guys, or is supposed to separate these guys. There's a ton of guys with baseball talent, but can you do it night in and night out? Can we trust you to do it night in and night out? And it looks like, at least over the weekend, a high-tense series, it looked like he was under nice control defensively, and it's nice to see him swinging the bat, because, listen, this kid wears his emotions on his sleeve, but when he can start controlling that a little bit, I think his whole game's going to get a little bit better.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us every Thursday here on 105.7 The Fan. Of course, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Birds tomorrow taking on the Kansas City Royals. Before we get to that series, Mike, Felix Bautista, two outings against the Yankees, two dominant outings at that. We don't want to say he's back, air quotes, but boy, that's a pleasant thing to see, isn't it? Him looking very similar to what he was two years ago.
So good. He looks so good the last couple outings. And why not? To put the cherry on top of this, a couple great wins against the Yankees, have him finish it up in dominant fashion. I mean, he blew him away last night. The fastball's velocity is up there, you know, high 90s. He's so tall and has such a presence on the mound. So it's just a big advantage. And he makes a lot of people feel good, because when you can really trust the back end of your bullpen, wow. It shortens the game, and it just, you know, and that's what the Orioles need. They need a shorter game for sure, and when Bautista's right, he can shorten them up pretty good.
Hey, Bordy, what are you seeing differently now in Holiday? It seems like he's getting more comfortable. They put him sixth in the lineup last night, you know, and he's been getting quite a few hits as of late. Are you seeing anything different that he's doing at the plate?
Well, I'll tell you what. I just think he's not trying to hit a home run every time. And I don't know if that's just a, you know, philosophy thing, but I think a lot of these guys get caught up in trying to, you know, be the guy to hit the 5 or 6 run home run. Well, it really doesn't happen that way. And like, you know, we talked about earlier, just hits make you feel good, and that will lead to better things. And I think he's just slowed it down a little bit at the plate. He's barreling the ball up a little bit. He's not, doesn't look like he's that worried about exit velocity, and I think so many guys get caught up in that. And I know it's a good thing, but, man, you got to find the barrel. You got to put the ball in play. So many good things have happened to the Orioles when they just put the ball in play. And you know, the way defenses are nowadays, who knows where the ball is going to end up. So, you know, give yourself a chance, and I think that's what he's doing. And when he can all of a sudden hone that in, the power will come for him, and he will be a great hitter in the big leagues. But you got to bring it back a little bit, man. You can't just – all these guys, you know, barrel the ball and then let your athleticism go to work.
All right, Bordy, last thing for you. Kansas City coming to town tomorrow. It's going to be Kramer, Sagano, and Gibson going those three games. Charlie Morton's going to the bullpen. Brandon Hyde told us that before the game yesterday. Did say that he was cool with the move. Is this the appropriate move for a guy? They're not going to cut him. He makes $15 million a year. But are they going? Is this the good move to maybe get Charlie Morton back on track to be more beneficial to them in the rotation later in the season?
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is a great time to figure it out. I mean, my goodness, they can't just keep running them out there every fifth day. This is really tough, and it's really hard on the bullpen. So it gives a little more control. Hopefully he can work on stuff because it comes down to the command with him. I mean, let's go. Take a couple miles off and just command the baseball. Let your defense do some work behind you because the walks are what's killing most of these guys. I mean, Sagano's having success. He's had one walk in his last three starts. But, you know, it just proves itself every night. So try it. Trust your defense. You definitely have to execute your pitches. But that's the thing, the hope that Morton can figure something out to really – be somewhat of a contributor to this team. So that's what they got him for. And you got to make these adjustments, man. The Orioles have to figure this out. That start from Povich last night, I know it wasn't a 5-6 inning quality start, but that's what we have to do. Keep our starters in the game. Hopefully the starters keep this team in the game and then adjust through the bullpen. And you're going to have to make moves with your bullpen arms, I think, throughout the summer. So it'll be interesting to see how they actually manage this, but you got to keep your team in the game. Falling behind 6 runs in the first 3 innings is ain't cutting it anymore.
He's Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Bordy, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we will talk to you next Thursday. Since the Orioles are on the road, I won't be able to see you for a couple of weeks here.
All right. I'll miss you then, Bob. And Vinny, you take care of yourself too, man.
All right, Bordy. There's Mike Bordick. Well, we come back, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Then we got news from the desk, top of the hour, talks of Ravens, buy or sell, 12:15. Where's the late week money? And we'll talk about the Steelers draft in their offseason with Will Graves from the Associated Press. Aaron Rodgers just signed already, right? You know, the Ravens are the best team in the North, and we're not just saying it because we're in Baltimore. They're the best team in the North. They have the best roster. Where's Pittsburgh? New running game.
You don't have a quarterback, Bob. New receiver. You can have whatever else you want. You don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. I mean, look at last year. They averaged scoring 14 points or less. And they lost them all. So, and they couldn't stop the run.
Will Graves, Associated Press, covers Pittsburgh, will be joining us as we've been going around the AFC North, but their draft analysis and another draft profile for this Baltimore class. Talk about a guy who may be the Ravens' punt returner. 2025. But let's bring in old Nolan McGraw here. Quick draw. Hey, feeling on this total request Thursday?
Feeling great. Still high off the series win last night. Something we didn't get to at the beginning of the show. Hyde's bullpen management and decisions. Now, I mean, he pulled out all the stops last night. Used pretty much every arm out there in the bullpen just to cover those final innings. I don't know if you guys had a problem with it, but Cade Povich being removed when he did. Pitch count-wise, still sitting in the high 80s,
yeah.
Probably could have finished the inning. And he gave up that solo blast, the third run. What was it, Goldschmidt? So at that point, maybe a little shaky, but I thought he had the stuff to finish. Problem is he was facing Judge. And ultimately, in the end, we talk about this all the time. And people criticize manager decisions, this, that, and the other thing. But if it works, it's kind of hard to criticize. So he goes with Dominguez for just one out. But it did get out of the inning, and it was a big out with Judge. So, I don't know. I mean,
I was cool with it. And
yeah.
We were talking about it on BBT last night, because you were there, Nolan. Me, you, Ryan Ripken. You're trying to win the series. Is it desperation time? I guess. Because it's all hands. You're off today. So, it's all hands on deck. So, you get the day off. If you have an opportunity to win the series, you do whatever you can. to do so. But the Hider hook is real. And if he feels the matchup is beneficial to that particular situation, he's going to go with it. For us to sit here and act surprised that we agree with it, well, that's another question. But it is what it is. And Dominguez did get them out of that inning. And, hey, look, Keegan Aiken gave up the Cano gave up the hit to Judge, another matchup. It was an inherited run scored. But, you know, Soto, except for the error, he did what he had to do. And, Baker, who's been great. And Batista, I mean, you got yourself a series win. You still have other reinforcements in the bullpen. We'll see. The question is, can Dean Kramer get them deep in the game? That's going to be ultimately what decides things. Is Kramer get pounded in three innings and then he has to dig deep yet again? I'm guessing Charlie Morton's going to be ready to rock and roll if, in fact, that's the situation. Sooner or later, Nolan, the starters are going to have to start earning their money because you got a lot of dudes with ERAs well over five, and Dean Kramer is one of those players.
But, right? Nolan, what you were watching on TV, right? Because they were kind of prepping us for this is his last batter.
Right, but it's, again, it's the Judge factor. So
right. Who had already taken him deep before.
Yeah. Yes, and if there was one player in the league that I would be okay with you kind of being super in tune with the matchups for, it would probably be him. Because he can wreck a game in a hurry. In a situation right there, it had become a one-run game. The more I think about it, it makes sense. But looking at the rest of the box score, you know, Cano throws five pitches. Soto throws three pitches to get one out there. I mean, I kind of understand the frustration people have. And it would be justified frustration if, say, tomorrow, after an off day especially, if we're hearing, well, Cano and Soto were off limits because I pitched them the other day.
Yeah. They didn't throw a lot of pitches.
Exactly.
To your point. And by the way, with Judge, how do you pitch to this guy?
You're walking.
He's hitting .427. His OPS is like 1,300. This is Babe Ruth 1921 sort of stuff we're seeing here. He's just an incredible offensive force. And we've seen, you know, if you're old enough, you've seen all the greats from the 70s through current day. I mean, this guy's just... Now, he'll go through his little lulls where he goes 2-for-30 and he strikes out 20 times. But boy, when he gets hot, which he's obviously now, just Barry Bonds him. I mean, Barry Bonds was to the point where Buck Showalter intentionally walked him with the bases loaded instead of giving up a grand slam.
I think he'll get the same treatment.
Yeah, this guy... Look, I hate the Yankees, and I've made no secret of that. But that guy's a beast. Maybe the most destructive offensive force we've seen in a long, long time.
That single that he hit to right was way outside, you know?
Well, he's like 6'7", his arm length's as long as offensive tackles. I mean, the guy's a stud, and he doesn't need no stinking torpedo bat.
Now, when he got caught in the rundown, though, that was very satisfying later in the game.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The little pickoff moment.
Yeah. Everything's satisfying when it goes negatively against them. And Bordy made a good point, by the way, getting back to Kerstad. It was 3-on-1 on that second base island. So he came out. The rest of Mateo was the first one to recognize. You had Volpe, and then you had Carrasco. And he's like, wait a minute, this guy's there and they're trying to defend himself. Somebody needs to get in here and defend him. And the dugout emptied. And it was cool to see.
No doubt about it.
And anyway, F the Yankees. How's that? So we got time to get to the fun house or no?
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 1057 The Fan.
First texter here says, my evaluation of the Orioles depends on tomorrow. Everything we've seen this season suggests that they'll follow up a nice win with a demoralizing blowout loss. If you take 2 out of 3 from the Royals, another playoff caliber team, I'll be all in.
Right. So you can't just, if they do get hammered tomorrow night and they win the next two, they win the series. That's all that matters.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. I mean, you keep winning series, you start stacking wins, your record improves. If they win 15-0 and lose the next two, what are we talking about Monday? They lost the series to Kansas City.
One more on the Orioles here. Texter says, Coby Mayo actually hitting pretty well against lefties in AAA this year. The O's have a banged up infield with Westberg out. Any way to get this guy up here to help solve the team's issues against left-handed starters?
Maybe offensively, but he's going to be a liability defensively. So that's the dilemma you have. What you need is Ryan Mountcastle to get hot and maybe start flipping for pitching. Starting to look ahead to the trade deadline a little bit. But Mayo, I mean, what more does he have to do? It's like Kerstad. You send Kerstad back to AAA and he hits 50 home runs in a week. They've already proven that is beyond their skill set. Mike Elias, that's what you get paid to make decisions for.
And one last one here, actually on the NBA. The Lakers are out. It's a reason for people to celebrate. Texter says, I love LeBron's annual playoff exit press conference. Trying to play coy about his future, taking questions about retirement. Anyone who thinks he's hanging it up without a full-on retirement tour is crazy. What a self-absorbed a-hole. Even found a way to complain about Anthony Davis not being there, even though that trade was the only reason they made the playoffs.
Well, LeBron James is one of the great players in the history of that sport, so we'll give him that credit. But yes, flame out as the higher seed. When Jordan's Bulls were getting worked by the Celtics and the Bucks or whoever it was when he was young, they were always like the lowest seed, and they were taking on teams that had a bunch of Hall of Famers on it. LeBron as a higher seed's kind of got the gap a few times. So last night was one of those instances, but he's a stud. Now, Laker fans, go get your Yankee hat because it's too early to get your Alabama hat. And we're way beyond or way too early for you to get your Duke hat, college basketball, because Laker fans or Yankee fans or Indiana or Notre Dame or Duke, they never, you know, Duke football fans are never Duke basketball fans, if you dig where I'm coming from. Duke basketball fans usually like a big fancy college team. So Laker fans, go get your Yankee hat. You'll be cool.
Speaking of Duke, what are the chances Redick makes it through next season as coach?
I'll give a 99.9%. Because he admitted
the whole
last
season?
Night, he said he learned from the experience.
Well, I don't think it's up to him.
Yeah, right. I don't think Jeannie Buss will pull the trigger.
I don't think it's up to her either.
Well, she dates the guy who used to be on Saturday Night Live. Or might be married. I can't think of his name. I'm going to do it during the break. We'll come back. It's news from the nest. We're going to talk more Ravens. Buy or sell. Where's the late week money? Will Graves. Talk about the Steelers from the Associated Press.